We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Maybe it goes without saying, all of us here are unique persons in various ways. We have different names from each other. We come from different families. There's even some ethnic diversity among us. You all have your own facial appearances, your own strengths and weaknesses, your own record of achievement, your own personal experiences, and the list goes on. The question is that enough? That you are you? Can we feel good about that? Our own identities. Sometimes people struggle with this sort of thing, trying to get a sense of who they are. They have what is called an identity crisis, or something like it, which I suppose could happen to any one of us, especially if we get caught up in the way that our flesh wants to think about it. That is, if we try to compete with each other and measure our identities based on earthly things, we probably won't be satisfied with the result if we're only focused on personal appearance. How much hair do I have? What level of popularity you have? How much athletic ability? What kind of grades do I get? How much money do I make? And the list goes on. However, on the other hand, we can be quite satisfied with the identity that God has given us. Unlike our earthly identities as unique individuals who differ from each other, your spiritual identity as believers is exactly the same. And that's very, very good, because the equality is very high. We are equally loved by the God who loves perfectly, unconditionally. Nobody gets to say exclusively, "I am God's favorite." We all get to say that. Equally claimed as His dear children, equally valuable to Him, even to the point that He sacrificed His Son for every single one of us. Your identity soars with Jesus in the picture. Today we're going to hear this description of our very valuable spiritual identity in Christ coming to us in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, which applies to every believer. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm going to dwell a bit on the first description. You are a chosen generation. We know from experience, don't we, what it's like to be chosen or not chosen. Maybe some of you are thinking of the tour choir tryouts recently. Normally, when one chooses another, it's going to be based on merit. You have to earn it, right? Show that you have the qualifications, the experience, something desirable. You have to meet the standard, whatever the standard is. When was the last time you were chosen for something you didn't deserve, not even a little bit? It doesn't happen very often, at least not intentionally. But it does happen for every believer. God chose us, even though we deserve to be rejected. God chose you to become His believers in Christ, even though we enter the world with a heart dead set against God, not wanting anything at all to do with Him. God made this choice of you and me, independently of us, completely because of His grace, and with the result that He comes after us in a good way. He doesn't give up in this process of working our faith and then keeping that faith alive to this very day. think about the dramatic turnaround, the 180 in your new identity. No longer are we so thoroughly stained with sin that God has to walk away in disgust, as he really should. No, we're covered by Christ, who makes us thoroughly acceptable in his sight. No longer are we strangers from God, his enemies, but rather in his family, adopted as his children. No longer are we trapped in a woeful fear of death and judgment. No, we have knowledge of God's plan to have us live forever. No longer do we wander hopelessly in the dark, in spiritual ignorance. No, we walk a well-lit path in the light of his love and his word. Now, folks, that change of your identity also means and brings with it a change in the way we think, the way we act, the way we set our priorities, the way we treat each other, and especially the way we treat the Lord. The Apostle Paul points out something for believers to always have in the forefront of their minds. Walk worthy, he says, of the calling with which you are called. In our text, the Apostle Peter narrows this down to the fact that God's people proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We would agree that God deserves our praises. Once you realize what he has done for you, you make that personal, not only agreeing with the fact of it, but jumping in. You actually proclaim his praises in various ways. At about 1:15 this afternoon, many of you will proclaim his praises in mass choir. We sing his praises in worship. You speak his praises in prayer. You can share his praises outside of a worship setting by showing to somebody else who the Savior is, especially if this person doesn't know who the Savior is. That counts too. God willing, someday you will teach his praises to your children. And some of you, God willing and God blessing, will have the privilege of proclaiming his praises from the pulpit as a pastor or in the classroom as a teacher. So, do we have an identity crisis of some sort? Are we confused or unsatisfied about who we are? Not if we can remember and share with each other our spiritual identity in Christ. Let the fact that you are God's redeemed child and heir, in spite of whatever you're facing, be the wind that lifts up your hearts when they're feeling down. Let that identity be the thing that gives you confidence to face what you're facing, and also to move you to show other people who your Father is, who your Savior is, what he has done for you to claim you as his own. You belong to God because of the Savior's blood. Your identity cannot soar any higher than that. Your value cannot be any better than that. Amen. We sing of our identity as the children of God, redeemed by Christ, by singing all stanzas of hymn 391.
There.
there are announcements, including this, that the college should stay right in the middle here briefly after chapel.